hold on, on the devil I know. All my troubles are handling your trigger. Take your eyes and your mind from the road. Shoot your mouth if you know you're aiming. Don't forget to pick up what you sow. Talking trash to the garbage around you.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
Of the United States.
The Constitution and the government of the United States.
And of the state of Florida.
And of the state of Florida.
That I am duly qualified to hold office.
That I am duly qualified to hold office.
Under the Constitution of the state.
Of the Constitution of the state.
Constitution of the state.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
The duties of County Commissioner.
The duties of County Commissioner.
On which I am now about to enter.
On which I am now about to re-enter.
So help me God.
I like the re-enter that Colton Wright added to his oath of office. You know, weird things that you don't notice about the swearing-ins until you see them side by side. Because yesterday, or in my case, listen to them side by side. But yesterday we had the Escambia County Commission and Santa Rosa County Commission swore in all of their officers. Also had swearing in at the state level, too. You know, so all of your representatives and senators have all been sworn in, too. But they don't do the same oath in Escambia and Santa Rosa County. It's actually, it's a little bit funny. This feeling inside. It's a little funny because in Escambia County, they do two oaths per candidate and the reading of the commissions per candidate. Like, it's really excessive. It's really a lot. And you might think, well, that's some kind of a state mandate. Apparently not, because the oath that they do in Santa Rosa County is sort of like a hybrid oath. It doesn't have a lot of the elements of the Escambia County oath. And then nobody reads the commission. They just get to business. It's like I said, it's kind of weird that you wouldn't notice it unless, you know, you're some nerd like me watching both of these all day yesterday. So what, you know, got to be a little bit more interesting was actually getting to the discussion of what they want to do and what they intend. And I will give Bobby Burkett, the new Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 1, replacing Sam Parker, I will give him the award for brevity because he was the most brief of all of them in both counties yesterday.
First and foremost, I want to thank my Lord and Savior for giving me the fortitude to do this.
Good start.
And kept pushing me for this thing. I want to thank my wife, my children, for standing beside me through thick and thin through this brutal campaign. I couldn't have done it without y'all. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank all the citizens out there that believed in me and cared for me. I promise you, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to do exactly what I said I was going to do. For 4 years, you'll hear me go for this. So I thank each and every one of you. From the bottom of my heart, I could never have done it without you. And I'm looking forward to rolling my sleeves up now. Let's get to work. Thank you.
Clocking in at a cool 43 seconds. I like it. It's less than a one-minute ad. Of course, Rhett Rowell, who is now the District 3 commissioner, replacing the no longer commissioner, James Calkins.
Okay, I'm going to talk a little bit more than Bobby did. I'm sorry. But this is truly a humbling moment for me and my family, and I thank everybody in attendance today.
I'm going to talk just a little bit more than Bobby. So he's already got 12 seconds under his belt.
I want to thank my family, specifically my wife, Lana, who didn't really know what she was signing up for when I got off the lawnmower that day. And I came in the house, and I said a couple years ago, and I said, I'm thinking about running for county commissioner. And she's been very, very supportive. I couldn't have done it without her love, support, and patience.
I love the fact that he made the decision on a tractor in North Santa Rosa County. Like, that's just beautiful.
But I've looked up to my older brother and sister my entire life, and they've been nothing but encouraging to me. You know, they say when you do something, when you accomplish something in your life, your family is the most proud. But they're also, they won't admit it, but they're the most surprised too, because they've seen you. And I'm sure that's how they're feeling right now.
Hey, congratulations. Are you sure it's true? That's so accurate.
As you're starting to think about doing something like this, you know, you go and you seek out counsel. And I went and talked to Uncle Frank, because, you know, it hasn't been very long. He used to work here. And I said, Uncle Frank, I'm feeling the call to maybe run for county commissioner. And his eyes got real big. And he put his big hand on my shoulder, and he looked at me, and he said, are you sure that's what you want to do? But he's been nothing but supportive of me.
Oh, man, no, that's for sure. Is that really what you want? And, you know, what I appreciate about Red is he kind of laid out sort of a statement about community, but sort of a statement about goals too, which, you know, you don't really get like an inauguration speech, you know, when you're a county commissioner. This is the best you get. Okay, you get the installation moment, and it's a couple of minutes, and if you go much longer than that, people start to get antsy. By the way, packed crowd in both county commission chambers, standing room only in Santa Rosa, and I think also in Escambia, although I think the Escambia chamber is a little bit big, maybe about twice as big. Rhett Rao goes on and says, what's the big issue to him? And so North End, okay, so District 3 is the North End. Now, in Santa Rosa, you represent everybody, okay? So everybody gets to vote for everybody, but you have to live in your district, and the District 3 is the rural end of Santa Rosa County, the North End, you know?
No, District 3 is home to some of the most prime farmland in all of the country, and we've got an opportunity to fully and truly show the rest of the state and for the country, for that matter, what supporting our farmers and preserving our farmland truly looks like.
Yeah, and I mean, that has been a big issue. And of course, you know, we talk to Ryan Jenkins about this all the time, you know, our farmer in Jay, Florida, which is in District 3, about, you know, how do you preserve that farmland? How do you accommodate growth and, you know, preserve farmland at the same time? It's a challenge. And some of the things you might think are obvious are actually counterproductive because if you're, you know, if you're real, I am a big believer that if we're sold on the 1 acre per dwelling unit concept of ag RR land in Santa Rosa County, then we lose the war. Because you're chewing up an acre every time you build a house. Essentially, you're taking an acre out of rotation. So instead, you've got to be in favor of more density. That's the only, otherwise, more people come and you have to use up more of the land. If more people come and you can use up less of the land, I don't mean to be a math, genius about this, but then you can preserve the farmland. But if the people keep chewing up big chunks of land, you're going to have to get rid of farmland in order to make that happen. So we'll see what they actually decide to do. But this has been kind of a simmering problem for Santa Rosa County for quite some time now. So that's one of his big goals. Another kind of tip of the hat moment, which is appropriate.
We also have a great opportunity. District 3 is home to literally the best naval base in the entire country, and that's Whiting Field.
Yeah, that's not an exaggeration. They are the winners of the award. They are the best one, so good to have that. So he clocked, 3 or 4 minutes. I didn't write down how long it was. It wasn't very long. And then Colton Wright, who is, you know, the District 5, got reelected. So, you know, the experience level on this board is not high. That is, I don't say that as a criticism, not yet. Time will tell. But you got Kerry Smith and Ray Eddington have been there for 2 years each. And you got Colton, who's now been there for 4 years. You got 8 years of experience for five dudes. And remember, like, when Colton won his election, I think they were replaced. I mean, the number, I'd have to go back and do the math, but you know, you're talking like 50 or 60 collective years of experience at that point. You know, it was different. Now, some people will say, yeah, and what did all that experience get us? Okay, understand. And also, you know, you had some extra dosing of chaos when you had James Calkins on the board. That's an extra problem. But it's different in when the county commissioners just, I mean, literally don't know what they're doing. Now, how quickly will they learn? Well, it takes time to learn, you know, so give them some patience. That's why I like what Sam Parker had to say so many times is give Rhett and Bobby some patience while they're learning the job because, you know, it doesn't come immediately for that to take place. Also, just, I don't know, I feel like I ought to address this. Somebody might say, well, you know, okay, so Bobby Burkett, thanks Jesus Christ for getting appointed. And you had, you know, Rhett Rao gets down off the tractor where he was clearly thinking and praying. So you're saying that God picked him. Well, you know, the Bible actually indicates that God picks the leaders, right? I mean, that's kind of a theme in the Bible. You say, well, I mean, does that mean that Sam Parker and James Calkins didn't pray? No. No. Well, but they thought they were going to win. Yeah. And they're men of faith? Yeah. So what gives? Well, sometimes, you know, A and B are going to play each other in football, you know, and the A team prays and the B team prays, and then whoever wins, wins. And maybe God has a hand in the outcome. And can God tell them both to play? Sure. Can God tell them both to run? Sure. I mean, you know, like, I don't know. It's just not all that complicated of a problem. But I always hear the voice of the atheist in the background because I was one, you know, so I know kind of where you're coming from a little bit. 519 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Colton Wright's comments I thought were, and Kerry Smith and Reddington, you know, they all had some interesting comments. One of the themes, I think, that you got a little bit, which is not a surprise, and nobody really said it out loud, but James Calkins is no longer on the board, okay? And I don't think they meant Sam. Okay, but they meant James, and there was some sort of hint at the change that would mean for the county commission.
Gentlemen, I'm looking forward to this rejuvenation and the sunshine that follows. We have an opportunity to bring professionalism and respect back to this board and to this county. We have an opportunity and we have a duty to be more productive than the past.
Professionalism and respect back to the board. Kerry Smith.
I'm going to keep telling you how much I appreciate you.
The
because
voters.
I got up this morning with a little step in my, a little bit of a bounce in my step because this is a great day. And I was really looking forward to this. And it's just so, I can't tell you how happy I am to see this kind of turnout. It just means so much. It means so much to these guys and it means a lot to me. So.
And meaning it had been stressful and anxious and frustrating to have to work on the board the way it had been constituted before. And, you know, there, things are going to be a little bit different. Of course, time will tell. And Ray Eddington, even.
And I think this is going to be the best board I've ever worked with, I believe. In my heart, I do. It's going to be different. And I got a good feeling it ain't going to be no fussing and screaming. And it's going to be normal. A normal board.
What praise. But he's not wrong. Now, of course, simply the absence of James Calkins does not guarantee that everything will run swimmingly. You have new county commissioners who, again, don't all know what they're, two of whom have no idea what they're doing yet, which is normal. And you still have the public. And unless I have not been watching county commission meetings and city council meetings in the great county of Santa Rosa and the great city of Milton, then, you know, maybe I'm misinformed, but I'm pretty sure the public has an influence on how this stuff runs. So we'll see. We'll see. Then again, you know, the pitchfork posse types and the loud, angry agitator types got a lot of what they wanted out of both of those elections. And so maybe they'll be simmered down now for a little while. We'll see. Ray Eddington nominated Kerry Smith to be the chair. He got that position. Rhett Rall nominated Colton Wright for the vice chair. He got that position. And so we're all set. They do it different. Santa Rosa, you elect your chair and your vice chair. In Escambia County, you go by a rotation. But there is a loophole for the rotation where new incomings can be either voluntarily say, I want to delay a year, or in the case of Mike Kohler, you can have people basically abuse you out of your seat for 2 years. They did. They took advantage of him for 2 years. Stephen Barry, Lumen May, and Jeff Bergosh, you know, wanted to kick him out so they could, my read, have power during the year before and the 2 years and the actual year of the election. But he is now the chair in Escambia County, and Ashley Hoffberger is the vice chair, which she has been even as the interim. So they're a little bit back on track with that. So there you go. There's your quick update. We'll carry you through the Escambia County ones next hour. Lots of interesting stuff in that commission meeting as well. And it's good to see. It's good to see change. It's good to see excitement, exuberance, you know, crowds showing up to get, you know, to kind of care about politics. Because your county commissioners make more decisions that affect your life every day than anybody else in elected office. Not the governor, not your state representative or senator, not your U.S. representative or your senator, not even the president. There's nobody that makes more decisions to affect your daily life than your county commissioners. And the only exception of that might be in the city, you know, but even there, maybe. I mean, yes, but if you live in a county unincorporated, definitely this is the case. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for that next vehicle and trying to decide where to go, hey, Frontier, one of the things that they'll do is if you go to get, like, a car from some used car dealer or a corner lot or, you know, Jimmy off of Facebook, they may not have a Carfax for you. Well, no big deal. Just take the VIN, call Frontier, say, hey, I want a Carfax for this, and they'll run it for you. No problem. Easy. Say, why would they do a Carfax for you when, you know, you're buying a car from somebody else? Because it can, because it helps. Now, a Carfax is not the only thing you need. I've always said, and I will always say, Carfax is a good starting point. It'll tell you your basic information, but it only relies on the information that is voluntarily reported to people who do the repairs and, you know, the upgrades and safety checks and stuff. And the owners and all of it, accidents, okay? You always want to get a good used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust before you're buying a car from somebody else. Now, the other thing about Frontier is if you buy a car from them, you know, you don't have to take it to a mechanic because they're going to stand by that car with a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty, period. That's the kind of used cars they sell. And they will stand behind those cars, and they have. I know people who've had issues, and they take care of them because that's what they do. That's the kind of thing you count on with Frontier. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years. Behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Open enrollment for health insurance starts November 1st. This year, enroll in a Florida Blue plan and get exclusive support from an approved Florida Blue agent.
Hi, I'm Chad Piku with Affiliated Insurance. I want to help you find a health plan that's right for you and meet your needs, not mine. Make enrollment hassle-free this year. Call 850-477-5840 and schedule an appointment with your local Florida Blue agent today.
Policies have limitations. Health insurance from Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, Inc., DBA, Florida Blue.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And when you need more comfort for yourself, try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors.
Use as directed. VapoStick for usages 4 and up. VapoShower Max use for adults only.
Hey, can you blow up some balloons for Jack's party?
I can't. I'm so congested.
You need Sinex Saline from Vicks.
Sinex Saline Nasal Spray?
Yeah, just Sinex. Breathe.
Sinex Saline instantly clears everyday congestion associated with colds and year-round allergies with a gentle, ultra-fine mist that's no mess and easy to control.
Daddy, we need more balloons!
On it!
Enjoy life's important moments without congestion. Try Sinex Saline from Vicks. Just Sinex. Breathe. Use as directed.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Captain O.G. Reedmore, a reading kind of cat.
How deep did I dig there, Jake?
Dude, man, it took me back to elementary school.
How old do you feel right now?
About 7.
Yeah. 5:27 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President-elect Trump has named transition co-chair Linda McMahon as the new education secretary. McMahon directed the Small Business Administration during Trump's first term. She's also the former CEO of WWE, which she founded with her husband, Vince McMahon. There's a very interesting documentary on Netflix detailing Vince and Linda, and they have kind of an odd relationship.
There's no clearer way he could have announced that he is trying to close down and get rid of the Department of Education.
You don't think?
Oh, this is unambiguous. He's promised he would. Republicans have been promising they would since Reagan after Carter put it in place. You're going to put Linda McMahon in charge of the Department of Education? Turn off the lights and tell me when the door gets locked. I mean, I could be wrong.
I mean, I
get things wrong.
I don't think I can argue. Well, Linda doesn't seem nearly as crazy as the rest of her
family.
Oh,
it's not that
though.
She's crazy. It's, you know, genuinely, how do you close down a department? There you go.
Well, maybe. A hacker has reportedly gained access to testimony in investigations to Congressman Matt Gaetz, former Congressman Matt Gaetz, President-elect Trump's pick for attorney general. Of course, he's been accused of a lot of misconduct, but has not been criminally charged. He's also denied the wrongdoing. Mm-hmm. Reports say a hacker accessed a file that contained 24 exhibits, including testimony from a woman that was making claims. And SpaceX is learning a little bit more about Starship after its latest test flight, with President-elect Trump watching from the Starbase facility in Texas. The rocket launched yesterday afternoon. One of the highlights of that test flight was the successful in-space relight of their Raptor engines.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 529, News Radio 92.3, closure updates for the railroads. As always, text me if you have better, closer information. As of last night, Archer and El Camino were closed, but they were supposed to reopen early this morning, sometime early this morning. Country Lane, open and not closing. Woodbury Circle, closed, but as a temporary crossing, so that's kind of doesn't count, right? If you can get around, you can get around. Beck's Lake and Eden Lane, open but closing early this morning. Cottage Hill, Williams Ditch open, but and Stacy Road and McKenzie are all open, but we don't know when they're going to close. All of these closures, of course, are dependent on weather. Openings are dependent on the asphalt delivery. So if you see any changes in that list this morning, particularly changes at Beck's Lake, Eden Lane, Archer, or El Camino, please let us know, because we'd like to tell everybody else what's going on.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The U.S. closes its embassy in Kyiv after receiving specific information of a potential significant air attack.
Employees of the embassy in Kyiv have been told to shelter in place, and all Americans in the city warned to seek cover if an air alert is announced.
Fox's Jonathan Savage in London. This comes one day after Ukraine used American-made long-range missiles deep in Russia. President-elect Trump could use recess appointments to push through the nominees.
The president has won a mandate, and he will use all lawful constitutional means to fulfill that mandate on behalf of the people who voted for him in record numbers.
Trump's nominee for deputy chief of policy, Stephen Miller, on Fox's Hannity. Trump nominees Matt Gaetz for U.S. Attorney General, Lee Stefanik for U.N. Ambassador, Doug Collins for Veterans Affairs, and Pete Hegseth for Defense Secretary are expected to meet with Vice President-elect J.D. Vance. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 72 degrees here in Pensacola. Earlier today, or yesterday, Representative Michelle Salzman announced she would be running for Congress as a Republican following Matt Gaetz's resignation last week. Last Wednesday, President-elect Trump nominated Congressman Gaetz to serve as U.S. Attorney General. Gaetz resigned from Congress the same day. Florida now has to hold a special election to fill the vacancy. The House Speaker is hoping to fill that seat before January 3rd. Well, new Escambia County Commissioners Steven Stroberger and Ashley Hoffberger were sworn in yesterday morning at the county's reorganization and installation meeting.
I am just excited to be up here and to make a difference and work together. And it is a new day, and the sun is shining, and I think that it is just going to be an amazing adventure for all of us over the next few years. We're going to get to accomplish a lot together, so I'm thrilled to be a part of that.
And Hoffberger making those comments following the installation ceremonies. Commissioners Lumen May and Stephen Berry were also sworn back in for their next terms in office. The board was reorganized. District 2 Commissioner Mike Kohler will serve as the board chair for the next year. Hoffberger will be the vice chair. Rick Scott has a prediction on who Florida's next senator will be. Scott was on News Nation yesterday to discuss who Governor Ron DeSantis may appoint to replace Senator Marco Rubio, who's expected to step down to become Secretary of State. Scott says he thinks DeSantis will name Laura Trump to fill Rubio's seat for the rest of the term. Laura is President-elect Trump's daughter-in-law. Scott says DeSantis knows she's qualified. Scott also said Laura is a hard worker who did a great job at the RNC over the last election cycle. More than 30 state attorneys general are joining a national effort to increase federal online protections for children. The bipartisan coalition is urging Congress to pass the Bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act before the end of the year. The group says lawmakers need to address the growing crisis of youth mental health linked to social media use. A letter was recently sent to Congress to highlight several ways to enhance online safety, including providing parents with tools to identify harmful behavior and requiring platforms to enable their own protections. The latest move comes as many states have already launched investigations into popular social media companies. Well, yesterday, hours before a crucial vote on funding for a new stadium, Tampa Bay Rays team officials suspended all work on that project. They say Pinellas County, they say it was because Pinellas County did not approve its share of funding in October. The team says a new stadium by 2028 would be impossible and 2029 would mean higher costs. Pinellas County commissioners yesterday delayed a vote on their share of the funding of the $1.3 billion stadium. Commissioner-elect Vince Nowicki tells News Channel 8 he wants to put their county's beaches first.
The county still doesn't have the report from the Army Corps of Engineers to really see the impact that the last two hurricanes did have on the beaches. So how would it be incumbent upon the commission to go and commit $300 million over the next 20 years?
And the Rays have said they plan to play next season's games at Tampa's Steinbrenner Field. And to repair Tropicana Field for 2026 would reportedly cost close to $56 million. 535 at News Radio 92.3 71. Right now, we've got cloudy skies, and let's get a look at our pre-market report.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields were higher this morning as investors considered the geopolitical situation and assessed the latest economic data. The yield on the 10-year Treasury was up by over 4 basis points at 4.4178%. The 2-year Treasury yield was last trading at 4.2932% after rising by more than 2 basis points. Target will report earnings before the bell this morning. The big box retailer has struggled to attract steadier foot traffic and higher sales as shoppers are selective about spending. To help, Target has cut prices on thousands of items to try and attract discerning shoppers. Nippon Steel Vice Chairman Takahiro Mori said he would not accept President Biden blocking the Japanese steelmaker's proposed purchase of U.S. steel. "I will never give up," he said during an interview with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. He added the deal would be good for the region, the community, U.S. steel, and the American economy. Futures are slightly higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hey, Pensacola, Dave Ramsey here. Trust your vehicle to the best auto service center in Pensacola, Bobby Likas Auto Service. For years, you've relied on Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway for maintenance and repairs, and now you have a choice. Keep taking your vehicle to the Davis Highway shop or go to their new location on Pensacola Boulevard. That's right, Bobby Likas Auto Service now has a second location at 8969 Pensacola Boulevard, right across from the Super Walmart. So keep your vehicles running smooth with their maintenance service program. And when your car or truck needs repairs, big or small, bring it to either location. Engine repairs, brake work, transmissions, air conditioning, power steering, and more. They can take care of it. Keep your vehicle on the road with the help of Bobby Likas Auto Service on Davis Highway and also on Pensacola Boulevard. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said, hey.
Hey, Pensacola. It's Christina Leavenworth with the Leavenworth team at Levin Rinky Realty. Your home is your most valuable asset, so make sure you're hiring a professional, the Leavenworth team. The Leavenworth team has the knowledge and expertise to help you buy or sell your home with confidence. Don't even think about making a real estate move without at least talking to us first. Contact us today at 850-378-1260. The Leavenworth team. Experience matters, and we're here to help.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you could skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between November 1st and December 31st, 2024 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENNAIR for complete details.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, glad to be here.
Andrew McKay, mornings at 5.
It's time to talk with our good friend Mike Woodley, Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the show, sir.
I'm glad I don't have to say that real fast every day. Good morning.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 before pep talk.
Julio Diaz always gets us up to speed on the movies that are coming out. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
News Radio Pensacola.
Informative, local, dependable.
Well,
just want to have the discussion. There's a lot of stuff on the LET funds that I went and talked to legal about. The sheriff has a lot of authority. I know the board can only turn down. We can't do much with the LET funds, but I do think that in the future we probably need to have a discussion with the sheriff on LET funds, because this alone is more than all of our discretionary funds this month. So it's a lot of LET funds that the sheriff has.
Kind of an interesting moment in the county commission meeting recently where Mike Kohler there, the new chairman, although at the time he was not, raising the question about a disbursement that was requested by the sheriff for the law enforcement trust funds, that's drug seizure money, and seeming to indicate that he wanted more oversight of those funds or more input into them. We talked about that yesterday with Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir. I promise you we didn't plan to spend the whole day talking about Mike Kohler this today, but he does come up twice in two different conversations at the Escambia County meetings. And this one actually goes back about a month, but it was a comment that I had meant to bring up with Sheriff Chip Simmons, who's here in studio with me. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Good morning.
Yeah, so welcome, by the way. Mike Kohler seems to think that there needs to be more oversight by the board on the law enforcement trust fund, the drug seizure money that you guys have. I'm not quite sure why he wants more oversight, but it seems like he does. I mean, you guys say we're going to spend it this way, and they can say yes or no, but they don't get any input into shaping the funds, right? By statute, not
by statute, but we've always been willing to have a discussion with county commissioners, and I've been working with county commissioners in the past on specific projects or thing people that come to them, and sometimes they refer those people to the sheriff's office. Hey, there are some, you know, they have their own discretionary funds,
right?
And then they have in the past referred them to us for a potential to get law enforcement trust funds. And we've worked with them. I haven't had a conversation with Commissioner Kohler. I'm not sure exactly what his concern may be. I guess two things from what he said. By statute, the sheriff or the police chief determines where the funds go to, and then it is approved by the governing body, which is the Board of County Commissioners of the City
and signed
Council.
Off by the clerk ultimately, or and the comptroller, off, yeah. Because she has to make the decision: is this lawful, right?
So yeah. There's a lot of hoops. Quite frankly, it goes through our legal process, and then years ago, Sheriff Morgan had an issue with some of the law enforcement trust fund dollars, and I believe that the sheriff's office legal team at the time and the county legal team worked on this process, and it's been pretty smooth for my entire 4 years as the sheriff.
Yeah, it just caught me by surprise a little bit. Kind of that, you know, why was he raising this objection? Had he talked with you about it? Is this a problem? You know, and if they have ideas, can they come to you? And it sounds like the answer is yes.
Certainly can come to me, yeah. And again, if the issue is the amount of money, it's no secret that we have doubled down on our narcotics arrest and I'm certainly not going to apologize for seizing drug money and putting it back into use into the community. But I just want to remind your listeners that by statute, it can only be spent for certain items. You know, drug prevention, drug abuse. It could be used for, equipment for the sheriff's office itself. But 25% of it has to go towards these drug abuse prevention type of things. So there's a lot of rules regarding where exactly it can be spent in. You know, if the sheer amount of money is an issue, I don't know what to do about that particular issue.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
We're not going to stop
seizing drug money. If you had fewer drug dealers, you would have less drug seizure money. Right. But then that would mean that your programs are working, which is kind of the idea of both the seizure and of using the money to combat drugs, right? So it's like it all, if it works, it makes sense.
And it may just be an understanding issue, and I'm sure I'll have a conversation with Commissioner Kohler, and we'll...
I wanted to ask, because it was kind of the first I had heard of that as a concern. We had a couple of incidents, including one overnight that I guess started at UWF after a game. Was this last night, maybe? Do we know more
details? I just got an email from the investigator or the patrol deputy that was working it. We responded to Baptist Hospital where a shooting victim. This victim said that while at the University of West Florida, he was shot in the leg after a game. Basketball game, maybe. I'm not sure what game was going on. And so we're working that. It's an unknown assailant, according to the report that I got. There was a crime scene. There was blood in the parking lot of where they said it took place.
Why would there be a shooting at UWF that gets transported to Baptist and not West Florida? That's literally right down the road.
Yeah, he may have driven himself. It's not clear on here. So a shot in the leg may not prevent him from driving or being driven by his friends on the interstate.
And that would normally, UWF has police, that would normally be their thing, but maybe it didn't occur on campus, or maybe it's like he drove himself, so it kind of like where you encountered it was afterwards or whatever, right? So
yeah, I'm going to look into that because UWF, they have their own police department. Right. They can handle, they handle a lot of things on their own, and Florida Department of Law Enforcement could help them if they needed to. But you know, again, we all work together.
Of course,
it may be something that was easier for us to take the ball initially.
There was a shooting at a raceway. This was on 29. Is that the one? Am I thinking of the right one? At 29 by I-10?
Right there at Diamond Dairy.
Yeah.
Yeah, the shooting didn't occur there, but the victim was located there. The shooting happened a little farther away from there. Let's see here. It happened on Hampton Road. Anyways, we're still trying to unwind this. This is kind of a complicated story, but a victim says he was shot while in his car at that address on Hampton Road. But then he ended up at Raceway, but the car was still at the location of the shooting itself. So we're looking at this. There's some claims of someone stole a backpack, and it's just honestly, it's just a mess. And we're still kind of unwinding, trying to see
a lot of
any
different
video.
Sort of smoke and uncertainty. And
well, there's an allegation that it's self defense, and then it's not self defense, and the shooting happened in a car, and you know. So our investigators, as they always do, they piece us all together and see if it is, as we talk many times, is it reasonable to believe that your life was in danger, and if not, then there will be an arrest. So I'm not ruling out anything in this particular case, but we're still make sure that we cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
Well, and the very important defense of a backpack statute that's now that I'm sorry.
I think that's the federal law. It's the federal backpack backpack protection act.
On that very inappropriate
we're joking
joke.
About that. There is not one of those.
The other incident that happened this week that was more high profile was you guys wound up in a car chase after somebody didn't stop, and that led to a pretty significant arrest, right?
We tried to stop a Dodge that fled us on W Street. We chased it for a bit, lost sight of the car, ended up finding the vehicle on Chimes Way Skate Park is what it says. Where a couple people took off running, and but they were caught. Our deputies did a fantastic job. The canine responded and also alerted on the Dodge itself. A large quantity of methamphetamines, mushrooms, and other narcotics were seized. So we charged a couple people this. One of them last name is Brazil. All I have is the information that suspect Brazil. So
okay.
Charged with trafficking in
oxymorphone,
which is over 28 grams. That's a lot, obviously. Possession of controlled substance of meth, and then fleeing and looting, and then resisting by trying to run and getting captured by our fleet-footed deputies.
Well, always good to hear. Hey, one thing, I don't know the answer, so I'm just kind of curious. We have been reporting on the traffic issues that have surrounded the CSX railroad crossings, which, you know, hasn't happened for 8 years, but when it happens, it's a giant catastrophe. And I think from a law enforcement perspective, you know, have you guys had... Has this caused you any problem, either the closures themselves or the massive congestion around the closures? Has that been an issue for you at all?
Well, I mean, obviously the congestion is going to mean that it takes a little longer to get to where we need to go. Mm-hmm, if it's an emergency, then we can turn the lights on and try to go around the congestion. But if the traffic is stopped, if there's a railroad track that is just, you can't, impassable,
right.
Then we obviously have to go another route. Our dispatchers do a fantastic job of letting people know if there's a tree down blocking the roadway, and our deputies will kind of know, you know, to avoid that kind of area. Our deputies are as familiar with these districts and that they work in as anyone, so they do a really good job. My point saying all that is, has it affected us? Yes, just like it would affect anyone else during mm-hmm. you know, rush hour traffic. But I can't say that I've heard, oh my gosh, this thing here is worse than any other thing we've ever seen.
Right.
That's not the case.
Last thing, kind of a cool thing. You are going to be constructing a law enforcement memorial plaza. Is that right?
Absolutely. We're very excited about this. So we've been working with the foundation. In fact, the foundation is paying for this and doing it for the sheriff's office. Our existing memorial, which lies in front of our sheriff's office itself, has served us well for many years. But if you attend one of our law enforcement
memorials.
That's
the one that's like the little, the circular thing
angled,
with the cut angled end that they put the flowers on and every time you do the ceremony.
Yeah, it's got a small triangular granite section, and we put the flower. It's the centerpiece of our memorial ceremonies. But if you've been to one of our ceremonies, there's not a lot of room there. People standing around because there's not enough seating, not enough area. So we wanted a larger area. It's time to upgrade this. And I thought that, you know, if we're going to do this, we might as well do it right. Let's not do anything mediocre. Let's do what Escambia County deserves, and that's make it better. And so we're going to have what we call a memorial plaza. One side will be a granite wall with the names of our heroes etched on it. And then the other side will be a seating area because we have a lot of tours of our sheriff's office and a meeting place, if you will, so people can meet there. And then the center of this will be a large star. So it's going to be two sides. The entire thing will make up the Memorial Plaza itself. We have been working on this for the last couple of months. The foundation president, Whitney Lucas, and I have been working on this, going back and forth with Hanto and Clark, Miller Caldwell Architects, and they've been kind enough to donate their time and expertise to it. So we plan on a groundbreaking in January. The Sheriff's Foundation is going to start raising money here shortly, where they will sell sponsorships or brick pavers on the plaza side, not on the memorial side. We don't sell those sides.
Don't commercialize the memorial side.
That's correct. Right? So if you go online, if you want to take a look at it, it's on the Sheriff's Office Facebook page. It's a beautiful plaza, if I do say so myself. We have met with the families of the fallen deputies, and they're very excited about it. This will allow us, you won't be able to enter or exit the Sheriff's Office without taking notice of this plaza and without thinking about the sacrifice that these men have made over the course of our 200 plus years.
Now, I do have to ask you.
No.
At once upon a time, the sheriff's office under your stewardship was in possession of a certain kind of, a statue that I think wound up getting shape-shifted and you were going to use for another purpose. Is that in any way resolved? And I assume that has nothing to do with anything that's happening here. It wasn't turned into the star or anything like that.
Yeah, no, that has nothing to do with what we have now. The bronze that was used on a former statue is not conducive to something else.
I got you.
So we're having to kind of reevaluate exactly, right?
Okay.
Exactly what?
Right.
Because apparently, when you meld it all together, the colors are wrong. But there are no statues in this particular memorial plaza.
Got it. And that's I just get asked that every once in a while. Somebody says, "What's the status?" I'm like, "I don't know. I keep hearing, you know, it's nothing. But and probably never and never will be." So. We'll leave it at that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for keeping us safe, keeping us informed. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Sometimes silence speaks volumes. I'll put it that way. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you want to make sure they get a good price, and also you need the direction, low buying and high selling, obviously, or, you know, just you want somebody who's going to make sure and get the deal done, get you all the way through to closing, because, you know, real estate deals often encounter road bumps and, you know, hiccups, and that's just how it works. And so it's good to have somebody who can navigate those, avoid those, solve those, resolve them, whatever. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty. They know how to do this. They've worked through a lot of transactions, 175 homes sold last year, on track to be about that same number this year. Last time I checked with her, she was right around like 140, okay, so far. There's a couple hundred each year during the like hot times when you could basically just put a stake in the ground and the home was sold, multiple offers. But you need a realtor when it's hot to get the best price. You really want a realtor when it's not as hot because, you know, you're going to need somebody who knows how to work and somebody who can really get, you know, good results for you, including giving you guidance about whether you have to replace the AC or, you know, the roof or the water heater. And you say, what would that have to do with selling a home? Trust me, in today's like insurance environment where insurance itself is an unknown and the demands insurance companies are placing on us here in Florida are crazy. You want somebody who knows whether you need to fund that or not because some buyers will ask, and that's the point. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty have the experience to know what's normal and what's not, especially in a changing marketplace. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
running right, lowers the shoulder, he fights into the end zone! Touchdown, Florida State!
The Seminoles keep climbing. We've got you covered with Florida State football all season long here on the Seminole Sports Network.
FSU takes on Charleston Southern at 12:30 on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware, All Season Service Network, A1 Auto Diesel Repair, DeFranco Gas, and Calvert's in the Heights.
Locally owned and operated, Pensacola Poolscapes offers a lot more than pool liner replacement and pool supplies. Imagine unwinding after a long day in your own luxurious spa where relaxation meets elegance. At Pensacola Poolscapes, they have a stunning selection of high-quality bullfrog spas and swim spas, perfect for soothing those aches, getting fit, and relaxing. And right now, they're offering end-of-summer rebate just in time to enjoy the upcoming fall weather. Visit them online at PensacolaPoolscapes.com or on Gulf Breeze Parkway across from Tiger Point.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What would you say you do here?
Good morning, 5:55, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. There is a remote area medical clinic coming up this weekend at the fairgrounds. I've always thought that maybe that wasn't the most descriptive name for this event because it's a really cool thing. It's free medical, dental, and vision. And they should just call it the free medical, dental, and vision event because that would be super clear to everybody. I always think that remote area medical is maybe just doesn't help the name so much, you know, marketing and promotion. But this is genuinely amazing. You know, they do this every couple of years, every year. I forget. Anyway, this one is going to be this weekend at the fairgrounds, November 23rd and 24th. I think they're opening at midnight on Friday. The gates will open. People can start lining up. And people do line up. This is a big deal because this is if you don't have insurance. Okay, and you want to get seen. Everybody gets medical. You're going to have to pick between vision and dental if both are important to you. Clinic doors open at 6 a.m., first come, first serve. Sunday is going to be slightly shortened hours. So, you know, that's just kind of be aware of that. They will end sooner, but same basic principle applies. It's going to open at 6 and, you know, be there early. Make sure that you get the free medical if you need it. 5:56, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, President Biden has approved sending anti-personnel landmines to Ukraine to use in their war against Russia. Multiple reports said yesterday that the U.S. is expecting Ukraine to use those mines in its own territory where Russian troops have been making advances. At least one person has died, and hundreds of people are apparently without power after that bomb cyclone that's going on in the Pacific Northwest. A woman was killed in north of Seattle last night when a tree fell on a homeless camp. And talk show host Alex Jones is now suing The Onion. Attorneys for Jones filed a lawsuit Monday. They claim that the satirical website submitted an illegitimate bid for assets of Jones' company, InfoWars. Last week, The Onion said it was buying InfoWars with the support of the of Sandy Hook families and planning to relaunch it as a satirical website. In 2022, Jones was ordered to pay $1.4 billion in damages to the Sandy Hook families.
Well, if there's anybody that knows how to win lawsuits, it's Alex Jones.
Yes, absolutely. He does very well in
when
court.
When he says that he'll win, we should definitely consider that almost gospel. David,
very
him or the Escambia County Commission, you know, they're both kind of 0 for forever. So, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you need electrical work done, heating, air conditioning, plumbing work done, Peden, they'll take care of you all along the Gulf Coast. You know, Panama City, Pensacola, and Ellison Field, Tallahassee, all the way east, all the way west to Baldwin County last year, Mobile County this year, kind of everywhere along the Gulf Coast. And it kind of makes sense, you know, if you're going to do one of those things, you might as well kind of do them all because they're all sort of those complex, not hardware related inside your home repairs, and it kind of makes sense to service all of that stuff. Why not? They show up on time, professionals, you know, they do what they say they're going to do. They stand by the work. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed. So, you know, you can count on them to do it, whatever the case may be. And during this month, during the month of November, got a couple of specials. One is if you have to buy a new air conditioning system, and I know nobody really wants to, but you know, you'd rather have the air conditioning, right? And if you need to buy one, they'll give you a free tank water heater, or get you $1,000 off a tankless water heater whenever you do purchase a new AC. And you get 10% off, separate item, MoanFlow. It's a smart water monitor and automatic shutoff sensor to help prevent leaks from turning into floods. The sensor automatically shuts off the water flow when it detects abnormal water usage, which is, you know, often in the beginning stages of a leak. Flip it on or off and monitor your home from anywhere, remote access to that. So Peden, PEADEN.com for more information about any of that stuff. Phil the Mayflower comes up this Friday, 2 days. Coastal Moving and Storage, WEAR Channel 3, Cat Country, and us at Cordova Mall all day Friday, taking your food and financial donations for
Man. Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.